guitar? Who are you? Where do you come from? Are you listening to me? What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock.
Hello, babes. You're at the Headbangers Rock Show, where the past is still kicking ass. This isn't a podcast for nerds, hosers, piecers, or dudes that dress like girls. Unless those dudes play 80s metal, then, well, that's hot. Because nothing gets a girl looser than an ice-cold wine cooler and a monster riff. Now, here's your hosts, Joe and Chris, to take you on a sticky sweet adventure back to a time when rock and metal ruled the schools. The Headbangers Rock Show starts now.
And welcome back, Headbangers Rock Show.
Jeez, such a dork.
Headbangers Rock Show, the podcast. That's right. That's where you're at. We're back. One more time. We did a three-week absence. This time, we probably needed that extra week of absence because of the episode we have today, the amount of listening, and if you want to call it research.
Research.
I mean, we call it research.
Yeah.
Most research. Most people will just call it listening to music.
Yeah.
But for us, it's research.
We take it seriously, Joseph.
I mean, I'm telling you, there was a lot to listen to. Yeah. And when people find out what this episode's about, you'll kind of get it because it's not just your, you know, top five name your band where you got like three or four albums you listen to. You kind of maybe already know a few of them in your head when you start it. No, this episode is different today. And we'll get to that, what the episode's about here in a second. But anyway, so yeah, we had another 3 week hiatus. And again, you know, we usually drop every other week, so this spring has been a little springy for us so far. So we're every 3 weeks right now. We'll get back to every 2 weeks. I'm pretty sure we will.
I hope so.
I hope so. So maybe 2 weeks from this episode, we should be back on schedule. But anyways, you waited, and now you're rewarded. So, but anyways, before we get started with the episode, there is a little bit of hair rock news. Two items specifically that were kind of big news items for hair rock,
right,
basically this week. I think is maybe the other one was maybe last week, but like boom boom, right this week and last week. First one was the dude that we just saw for Skid Row. What's his name? Mark Gronwell or Gronwall or whatever.
Yeah,
the dude that the Swedish or the Swedish or German or anyways, you and I saw Skid Row live with him singing literally probably 2 weeks before all of a sudden he just now
two
had
weeks
to
later
quit.
He's out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I'd heard before that he had he's got leukemia or something.
Oh, really?
And so I think that's, you know, the issues he has are prohibiting him from going on, but and you know everybody wished him well, and you know you and I saw him, we both I think you know concluded good singer.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you going to see Skid Row and you just want to hear a decent voice sing the songs, okay, that's what it is. And,
right.
And speaking of which, they're going to have Lizzie Hale, I guess, sub in for a couple dates coming up, which I think would be kind of cool. They did.
Not me. No desire to see that. I don't need some chick singing Skid Row. I'm sorry.
You like Hailstorm?
Lizzie Hale's good. Yeah, I mean, she's good in her own right, but yeah. I don't need a chick singing Skid Row.
Do you know that Hailstorm, you know, they do those EPs every once in a while where they cover, it's like six songs and they cover anywhere from like Judas Priest to, you know, I don't know, shit. Did they do Adele or something like that? You know, they just do rock. They did Slave to the Grind.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple
of
years ago or EPs ago or whatever. I think it would be cool. I like Hailstorm. I don't care that it would be her singing them. I'd go see it. You wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
Okay.
I already saw a cover band Skid Row, which was with this guy. I call that cover band.
But this is kind of like a. This is kind of like a. With
I call
Lizzie
this Chick Row.
Well, with Lizzie Hale in there, isn't it kind of a more of a what do you want to call it? Like a super group kind of. It's not like they're getting any old gal. Yeah, I mean, if they got you know some girl.
I can see that, and there's nothing wrong with Lizzie Hale. She's great with Hailstorm, her band, awesome.
Yeah.
We've seen them before together. Yeah, but you know, to front Skid Row is just, it's gone from bad to worse for me. Like, can't do it.
Well, they just, you know, ever since the breakup with Bach, I just feel like, you know, they had a long run with Johnny Solinger, and I think they did two or three albums, maybe a couple of EPs in there. And you know what? He wasn't bad. I mean, singer wise, he was actually the closest thing I think they've had to Sebastian Bach voice wise.
Right.
I saw them live with him too. He's now dead.
Lizzie Hale better watch out, dude. What is it with these Skid Row replacement singers?
Well, and so I think this basically, to me, I think this is one of those things, and I know we've heard this 1,000 times with you know, guys, Rachel and Snake or whatever. They have apparently no desire to ever get Sebastian Bach back. But look,
Sebastian has desire.
He does. And
I like how one's willing to bury the hatchet, but yeah. You know.
And you know, I get it. I mean, they probably went through but you know, that's so long ago, number one. And I know they tried to kind of maybe get back together a number of years ago, and the guys were like, same old Sebastian, we're not doing it. I mean, I get all that. I've been in bands with people that I'd be like reluctant to be back in. But if I had massive success and I knew there was the fan base would go crazy for it. I mean, I think you're almost 60 years old. You're in their 50s. Like, just like you said, bury that. Just do it. Just bring Sebastian Bach back. Ride on separate buses. Jump up on stage together.
That's all you got
to
do.
Agree to everything ahead of time, money wise. You know, you get this, you get this, you get this, you get this. As long as that's all squared away, just bring him back. Because, I saw people saying online, they're like, no, that guy was a better, way better singer than Sebastian Bach. I don't give two shits who's the better singer.
Right.
If I knew Skid Row and Sebastian Bach, if I knew that was going to be the lineup, I would go see it, and I would pay three times what I paid for Eric Gronwell.
I would too. I'd travel hundreds of miles to do it rather than just 3 miles.
Some people don't think it would be very big. I'm like,
huge.
It would be big. Trust me. Would it sell out like arenas? Probably not. But I think if you build Skid Row and Sebastian Bach together with, like, you know, I don't know.
They should get Tom Kiefer should get back with Cinderella, and they should have like the family reunion tour.
Now that would be kind of cool.
That would sell out.
Get some of the guys Cinderella back. You know, I mean, hell, honestly,
get Rat back.
If you got like, that's what I'm saying. Like, get, or even if there wasn't like getting back, but Skid Row just packaged it together with, I don't know. Well, we just saw him with Buck Cherry, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying a band like that, but you know, if they can get some other band and kind of put it together and do like a, you know, maybe not arena show, but like large theater shows.
Right.
I mean, we saw Sebastian Bach in a decent sized theater where we saw Skid Row, decent sized theater. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you're talking maybe 5,000 people at the most.
Yeah.
I think they could quadruple that with Sebastian Bach. Well, I don't know, 20,000. I don't know if they could get 20,000.
They get 10.
They'd probably double it. Yeah. And if they had the right billing, I think they could do well. I think it would do better than people are thinking, and I think it'd do better than even the Skid Row people are thinking.
I agree.
Okay, so you know, that was one bit of news that broke, and I'm of the opinion, you're of the opinion, just get Sebastian Bach back, do it. And the other news, speaking of sick singers, I didn't realize that CJ Snare of Firehouse. I don't know.
You're thinking White Lion.
I got so many bands on my mind right now. I didn't realize he was diagnosed with stage 4. God, was it colon cancer? Which that's one of the worst kinds. And stage 4 back in 2020. And I guess he had some operations. Usually stage 4 colon cancer. I mean, you're not. There's not. Yeah. Anyways, he had an operation, did well, but then I guess I was reading back in like October, he had a second operation, and he hadn't really been well since then. That really weakened him, and he just passed away. Coincidentally, on April 5th, same day
Kurt Cobain
died.
Yeah,
and apparently the same day that Layne Staley died.
Jeez.
And you know what's ironic about that? All three of those bands were up for Best Metal Album of 1992, and Firehouse won it.
Really?
Yeah. in MTV VMA or whatever it is. Or maybe it was like some, I don't know, maybe it was Grammy, I don't know, one of those. But yeah, so he's dead and he's gone. I saw Firehouse. You said you've never seen Firehouse live?
I never see him, and you know how much I love Firehouse. So you were with me at Musicland in the mall.
Was it Musicland or Music Village?
Musicland.
Oh, okay.
And that's when I bought my very first CD, when they came in those long boxes. Yeah. We're like, hey, let's try this new CD thing, Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, yeah, you get it. You try it. God, and I got Firehouse,
dude. Those long boxes, weren't those great? Yeah. The packaging on that. You'd rip it to shreds and be like, oh, all right, well,
if
whatever.
It's possible to wear a CD out, I wore that CD out. Yeah. Like, oh my God, dude.
Yeah, we recently did a Firehouse versus what? We did
Firehouse versus
Slaughter?
Slaughter, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Kind of, you know, similar bands. The album came out similar times, similar well-produced albums. But yes, I don't know. That's too bad. I mean,
that sucks. That would hit me hard, man. That's like my golden years, right?
Yeah,
there,
and from everybody's account that I can read online, he was a really good dude.
Yeah, everybody loved him. You see Ron Keel's post about him. Like Ron Keel was just saying what a great dude he was. Yeah, and Ron Keel said nobody disliked CJ. In the business.
I guess it would be weird if the singer from Firehouse were like a complete dick. Like, why would you be a complete dick? I can see, you know, they say Tom or Raya from Slayer or whatever is a complete asshole. Okay, I can see that.
But he found the love of a lifetime. Yeah. You can't be a dick when you found your love of a lifetime.
I don't think the lead singer from Firehouse has, you know, I don't think it's possible for that guy to be an asshole, you know, when you listen to their music. I mean, if he were, that would be really weird. So, no, it sounds like he was a really good guy. And I saw him live once. It was cool. It was back at the first Rocklahoma. But, anyways, so those are little bits of hair rock news. One unfortunate event that could turn into a very fortunate event.
Right. So let's hope.
Okay. The funny thing was, is occasionally I have a list, right?
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally that list pisses you off. Well, I found a ton of lists with this topic today.
Okay.
Any Loudwire, Louder, Metal Mag, whatever. There was a ton of lists. And I don't know, rather than just pick one, I figured let's just dive into this episode here because, you know, I think I could have picked, you know, one and just went with it. But there was other ones. I'm like, oh, that's a good one. You know, that's a good one. That's a good one. So anyways.
Let's make our own damn list today.
Yeah. Well, that's true. We are making our own damn list. So as I mentioned before, I would tell everybody what the episode is about. And if you just literally hit play and didn't read a damn thing about the, about what the episode was about, then you'll be surprised or you'll be, it'll be worth waiting. So there are bands within the 80s hair metal genre that are well known, right? Motley Crue, Rat, Poison, Cinderella, Warrant. You know, when people think of hair metal, a lot of times those are the bands that, you know, you go on the playlist, hair metal hits of the 80s, you're going to have all those bands, all of them. What you're not going to have, though, are bands like Icon.
Yeah.
Or bands like Cats in Boots.
Right. Those are your tier three. I would say your tier two would be like the Bullet Boys and the Kick Tracys and Tricksters, right? I'd say that's tier two. Tier three to tier 10 those types of bands.
So basically we decided to put together a top five list of rare hair songs. Now, occasionally on our episodes here, we will delve into if we happen to come across or listen to a rare hair song, we'll make note of it and we'll talk about it. You'll bring one to the table. I'll bring one to the table. We'll say, hey, listen to this. I just discovered it the other day. So we have these rare hair moments before, but now we're actually doing a whole episode.
Right.
Rare hair. So the thing is, like I was saying at the beginning, it's not like this is top five Cinderella and you probably already know your favorite. Maybe, you know, another one that'll be in there. It's just a matter of kind of listening, doing your research, listening to music and putting them in order. More or less,
right,
you know.
Right.
But in this particular case, there are so many goddamn rare hair bands out there. I didn't realize there was as many.
Yeah, and let's preempt this a little bit. We teased about this an episode or two ago, and we told the people that you and I are actually undertaking a grueling project of writing our own hair metal book, like kind of like an A to Z encyclopedia, you know, with our own little, you know, spin on it, but we're writing our own, you know, hair metal book, right? And yes. in this foray into this research for doing so, we have discovered so many new bands.
So many.
And some of you guys might know them, you know, mm-hmm. they might be from your hometown or whatever, but these are bands that for the most part, most people have never heard of. And it's been actually really fun, but it has been a ton of research. Yeah. So this book will come out, and our plans are to get this done by the end of the year. So we'll update you on this book project we're doing. But for now, here's a little tease, right? Yeah. There's a little tease of that book.
A little tease. And to be sure, the book isn't all about Rare Hair, but instead, when you said A to Z, it's going right. to include
everything.
As many as we can include. Now, we will not be able to get all of them. I mean, there's just too many. Yeah. I mean, there are ones that are, you know, just... There's ones that we're going to probably have to just filter out and just say, let's kind of focus on these ones here. But yeah, our book is going to have try to cover all the bases of the genre, you know, everything that was kind of borderline glam to full on glam to Rare Hair glam. And yeah, and so what we decided to do, and part of this actually in researching for the book, yes, true. Getting some of the names of some of these bands, and that's when we kind of came up with the idea of, man, there's so many yeah. of these. Why don't we do an episode of Rare Hair and go and listen to some of these? So really what we did was we, you know, I mean, I just, you know, we would Google, I don't know how you do it, Google lists. I go on iTunes. I'd find lists of Rare Hair bands and stuff and just start listening to them. And that's the thing I'm saying is, like, you know, in order to do this, you have to like start listening to a band's album. And no, I don't like that first song. The second song, yeah. Third.
Yeah,
ooh, hold on. This
so
song's
much.
Pretty good. This song's pretty good, you know, and then maybe that goes into your preliminary list, and then you got to whittle that down. I mean, I listened to a lot of Rare Hair over the last 3 weeks. And one thing I can say is there's a reason why a lot of this is Rare Hair.
Sure.
I mean, they a lot of these bands, very formulaic, you know, just kind of sounded like what you would expect from a glam metal band that didn't make it big.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there were gems within that.
There
you know?
Are. There's some catchy things in there.
I think I even found one or two full albums that I think I liked. You know, a lot of these were just like, oh, that's a good song. You know, song 4 on side 1 was good. Everything else was kind of like, eh, you know.
But then also some of them were so good it made me wonder, like, how is a band like this not way bigger than they were?
You know, that's funny because I think after we're done with our list, we should talk about, were there any bands, are there any of the ones that were on your list or that you came across that you're surprised that they weren't bigger,
right?
You know,
right.
Maybe we'll mention a few of those. So top five Rare Hair bands, glam metal Rare Hair bands rather, now we didn't have any stipulations really as to had to be 80s. It could be a 90s.
Yeah, and I think it's actually easier because I think the reason a lot of these are Rare Hair and everything that I read and research was the continuous synopsis for this was like the reason that this editor, this writer or something said that they didn't make it bigger was because they were released in 90 or 91 or 92 when grunge hit. So yeah. They were kind of late to the show, late to the party.
Right. Yeah.
And even though no matter how good they were since they were late to the party. So I don't think it's fair that we stick in the 80s for this.
Right.
You know, so.
No, that's true. That's definitely, had they come out in like early 90s, that probably by default would have made them Rare Hair
right,
for the most
right.
part. But there, you know, what's funny, there are within the Rare Hair genre, so to speak, subgenre, there definitely are some like heavy hitters, you know, so to speak. But anyways, okay. So, yeah. You know, there's a couple albums. I won't mention them now. We'll see if any of them are on your list. But there's definitely a couple okay. albums within the Rare Hair that tend to get like a lot of love. They're rare. They don't have anything, you know, terribly identifiable on them or anything like that. But people in circles of hair metal talk about some of these albums. I have a list of about two or three.
You listen to a lot more like hair podcasts and glam podcasts than I do. So you probably know that.
And matter of fact, I just listened to one the other day where they were talking about some of the bands that came out in the 90s. You know, mm-hmm. they talking about the Spread Eagles and the stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was a whole slew of them that came out in the 90s. That you're right, coming out in the 90s pretty much would have made them Rare Hair.
Right.
All right. So I guess let's start.
Without further ado,
at number five. Now, did you actually rank them, or are these just five?
I kind of ranked them.
Okay, so your number one probably could be your favorite.
I would say at the moment, yeah, it is at the moment.
At the moment.
I mean, I found about 10 or 15 and that I like so much. And I finally was just like, you know, I'm just going to choose five of these. And then I'm going to take those five and kind of put them in an order if I sure. can. So that's okay. kind of what I did.
All right.
So
rare hair,
number five.
Something you can, now, I forgot to ask. Yeah. We didn't put this in the stipulations too, but I think this is just so people listening can understand. Did you, or the, because this is not something we talked about prior to this, but is this bands that you, songs from bands that you'd never heard of, or could you have possibly heard of the band but never heard them before and then, like, you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Both? So, is it both for you?
Four out of five for me yeah. are bands I'd never heard of okay. before I started researching our book.
All right.
One of them we had talked about previously.
Okay.
So yeah, pretty much.
Mine's a mix of bands I'd never heard of and bands that I've heard of but never really heard much of.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Okay. All right. So number five, what do you have at number five?
So number five, I have a band called Hellraiser, but not by Priest.
Wasn't that an Ozzy song too?
But not by Ozzy. This is
so
a
the
band.
Song is called Hellraiser.
It's called Hellraiser.
Oh, not the band. Okay. What's
and this the... is by a band called Cherry Street.
Cherry Street.
Have you heard of Cherry Street? No. You know, I had no idea Cherry Street existed, but you know, for our book,
yeah.
I'm doing a lot of the imagery. You're doing a lot of the writing, right?
Right.
I started like looking up old concert posters, like from the Whiskey and the Troubadour. And I just kept seeing this Cherry Street opening for Crew and Cherry Street opening for... They were like one of the first openers, but on all these posters, I'm like, who the hell is Cherry Street?
Right.
So I went and looked at them, and they formed in 1989, and they were unsigned. They were unsigned for years, but yet they still open for all these bands, even okay. though they were unsigned. They were like the only unsigned band that was opening for these mm-hmm. guys. But they didn't release their self-titled record till 92. Which by that time, of course, obviously was too late.
Right.
So
right.
they didn't make it big. But I like, they're kind of like a mix of, I would say, like Britney Fox meets Kix. Hmm. I mean, you think Britney Fox and Kix have like that raspy, gargly voice?
Yeah.
Wait till you hear Cherry Street, dude.
Is that right?
We'll drop
I'm
a little
at a picture
for you here.
Of them right here. And yeah, they definitely, I mean, they fit the image. They all have some seriously teased hair. Wow.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, one guy's black hair. They all have like either, no, the lead singer's got blonde hair.
Yeah.
Two of them blonde, three of them black. And they look like one of the like kind of sleazy rock bands, like a Faster Pussycat, LA Guns type.
Exactly.
You know?
They're so good. They're so good. Hmm. I think you'll
Cherry
dig
Street.
It.
So. They did have an album out?
They did. It came out in 92, even though they've been playing all their songs off that album from 89 on. Uh-huh. But they just, no one would sign them. So
what was the song? Hellraiser?
Hellraiser's the song, yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Did it
find it on there?
I'm just looking to see if it says the name. Oh, wait, here we go. Cherry Street Discography. How long is this list? let's see, 92. So it would have been off their self-titled Cherry Street. Okay. I actually have a song called Cherry Street. I love when a band has a song.
I know, right?
You know, like, I mean, hey, Iron Maiden did it.
Yeah, true.
I don't
very
see
true.
Hellraiser on there. Ring Around the Rosie, Mary Goes Round.
Yep.
Shake Down Sally, Speak No Evil. Hellraiser? I don't see that on there.
Hellraiser's on there.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not on the '93 release, Squeeze It Dry.
I don't know, but it's, I mean, I have it on Spotify.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's yeah. Twist on Twisted Rude and Sticky Sweet is the album.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, this says three versions. What's the album? What do you say it's called?
Twisted Rude and Sticky Sweet.
That's the name of the album?
Yeah. It might be like a, I don't know if it's like a greatest hits or whatever.
Oh,
but
maybe. So, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Hellraiser by
Cherry Street.
Cherry Street.
What about you?
Interesting.
What you got?
Okay.
What you got for five?
All right. So my number five, really was a kind of a, you know, I kind of had most of my list, and then I decided this last week, since we had more time, I delve into it a little bit more, and I did find a band that's, I was interesting. I liked more than just one song. It was, they're not really, they're kind of like, a couple years later, there was a band called Pariah that mm-hmm. came out like in 93.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the elements of glam, but it's got heaviness to it. The singing is a little bit more, you know, fiery. And this guy's voice reminds me of this dude's voice.
Okay.
And this band's style is a little bit heavier, a little bit faster. Kind of almost sounds like at times like a faster Pussycat.
Okay, faster Pussycat.
Yeah, not speed metal by any means, and not terribly thrash. But I did read a little bit about them where they're like, you know, somebody wrote a review. It's like, where thrash metal meets glam metal. So it kind of has a little element of thrash with, like, you know, this guy's singing is pretty good. Anyways, so the band is called Two-Bit Thief.
Two-Bit Thief? That's one that I don't even have on our list for our book.
There you go.
Wow.
See, I'm saying these bands are popping up out of nowhere. I mean, how the hell did, you know, and this... this one was actually, they had it on iTunes. You know, a lot of these, a lot of these are YouTube listens because they're just not on Spotify or Apple Music. Anyways, so Two-Bit Thief.
Two-Bit Thief.
Yeah. And I don't, did I do any research on these guys? Well, I think they're from, I think they were California.
What's the song title?
Industry.
Industry. Okay.
Yeah. So... Two-Bit Thief, the band. And a lot of these bands don't have much Wikipedia.
It's hard to find
Wikipedia
stuff on a lot of
them.
These bands.
Yeah. So, there it is. Okay, I did find a little story. Was this a little story about them? I don't know. Oh, here we go. Though the obscure band isn't terribly original, most of the songs are gritty, catchy, and honest. It doesn't say where they came from. Yeah, it's just hard to find a lot of this on these bands. But anyways, Two-Bit Thief, a little heavier. The song's called Industry. I think it's the second song on their first album, which was 1990.
Okay.
To me, the singer, if anybody's familiar with that band Pariah, that was from Texas in 93-ish, the singer reminds me of them a lot. So we got Cherry Street, Hellraiser, and Two-Bit Thief with Industry. And then we'll get back with bands you've never heard of after this.
Yeah!
Okay, coming off of our song fives there, Cherry Street and Two-Bit Thief. Two bands that, by God, they should have been bigger.
I can promise you that everyone listening has probably never heard of them.
No, probably never heard of them. Well, I mean,
we're here to open your eyes to new music.
This is definitely opening your eyes and your ears. All right, so your number four one that you came up with for Rare Hair, top five, Headbangers Rock Show. What do you got?
My number four, some of these I can't even say without laughing, dude.
I know. It's...
My number four's band name is Gypsy Blue.
Gypsy Blue.
Gypsy Blue.
Okay.
All right. The song is Living in the City by Gypsy Blue. It kind of, to me, sounds like a poppier, more upbeat version of L.A. Guns. You know, big catchy hooks.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. But here's the best part of the band. The lead singer's name is Spider St. Valentine.
Jesus.
The bass player's name, Rimshot.
Rimshot. That should be the drummer's name.
It should be. And that was the best part of this band, but they're Chicago based. I couldn't find much else on them, but they were loved in Chicago, and they were like, you know, they were like the glam band of the Chicago area for a while and all the clubs down there and stuff. But yeah, interesting enough, you know, they weren't in the LA scene. So
as you say, that is some real hair. So they were like Chicago band.
Yeah.
They never have an album or anything, or
yeah, they came out with one album.
Oh wow.
Yeah. But yeah. Give it a listen. Gypsy Blue, Living in the City.
Gypsy Blue.
And honestly, when you hear it, it's one of these songs that I could easily hear that on any normal radio rotation of like hair metal stuff.
Right,
easily.
Right.
It's a great song. It's super catchy. Yeah.
Gypsy Blue from Chicago, but never really did much, you said, huh? Okay. All right. Well, my number four is a band called Law and Order.
Heard of them?
Have you?
Well, just because I've been researching that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard them yet, though.
Yeah. Are they on your list already?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're on my list.
Law and Order is a band from, hold on. I didn't do a printout this today, so I'm kind of a little all over the place. But yeah, Law and Order. Does this have anything about them? I didn't write anything down. I usually print shit out.
You're just
and
so
I
prepared.
I know. I usually
have buying your new boat.
I usually have all this stuff printed out. So a grittier version of the LA glam scene. Law and Order were a band that failed to fit easily in any genre and therefore got lost in the shuffle.
Okay.
Yeah, the truth is they don't sound. I mean, if you were going to categorize them as anything. Categorize them as glam metal.
Yeah.
Little singers, a little grittier too. Really cool harmonies in this song. The song is called, it's the first song on the album. And it's called We Don't See God. And I don't know, it was interesting. I came across the name of the band, and then, you know, again, you have to kind of look them up.
Right.
Can I get them on Spotify or Apple Music? Nope, can't get them there. Okay, let me look on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Found it on YouTube, found the whole album. Started it with this song, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm kind of like, all right, I can get there with this song. And that listened to a little bit more. Some of the other songs, there's some that are, you know, yeah, maybe. But there were a couple in there that were like, okay,
yeah.
I can get it. Not terribly glammy looking, more like they look more like Tesla, probably. You know
okay.
what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
They got long hair. They got like some, you know, ripped up jeans on or whatever. They had a minor East Coast hit with their cover of Lynyrd Skynyrd's Needle and the Spoon.
Okay.
In the debut single, We Don't See God. Touring behind bands. Oh, check this out. They toured behind bands such as Pearl Jam and Blind Melon.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, remember in that early era, in the early 90s, you know, some of these bands that were kind of borderline hair metal, you know, there were a couple that kind of straddled the fence a little bit,
right.
You know, like maybe like a Junkyard or something like that, too.
Yeah, where you they could see like a Every Mother's Nightmare or stuff like
just
that, touring
that,
with bands.
Yeah, just
like
that bands. Maybe had more of a bluesy influence, you know,
yeah.
Which this band, you can kind of maybe say that a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know whatever became of them. Probably nothing. I don't know if they even had, to be honest, I didn't do a ton of research as whether they had like another. But you know what? Again, with these bands, like if you listen to it, you hear it right now and... No, that's not the beginning of the song. It's actually a siren go by.
Shut the windows in the studio here.
Here's their song called "Headed to the Hospital." Some of these bands it's hard to actually find a good research on them. I should have probably done a little bit more of my research on them. But anyways, I like it's more to me. It's about finding some of the songs that are you know good. So if you hear this and you like it. Honestly, the best thing you can do is go on to YouTube, or really the only way I found is go on YouTube, listen to it. Some of these you can go on like Discogs and stuff and find like the CD.
Yeah.
A lot of them come from like Europe and stuff though, so you got to pay like $40 to get the CD.
Ridiculous.
And I'm just like, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, for like maybe two songs, but anyways, okay, so. A little music break with, what was the hell was yours
Gypsy
called?
Blue.
Gypsy Blue. You usually don't like gypsy music.
This is not, you know? Gypsy music,
I mean,
though, trust me.
You don't like Cinderella's going gypsy. You don't,
yeah, it's a weird name because it's furthest thing from gypsy music.
Yeah, although your favorite color is blue, right? No?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, Gypsy Blue, what's the name of the song?
Living in the City.
Chicago, they were living in the city.
Living in the Windy City.
Chicago. Gypsy Blue, Living in the City, and Law and Order.
Not the show.
Law and Order. By the way, some of these two of these names, like, God, you think of a better name.
I know.
Law and Order with We Don't See God, and then back after that.
Never remember me ever.
All right, back we are here again. Headbangers Rock Show.
It's getting good now. It's getting deep.
Getting down to these are, I mean, by the nature of it, these are deep cuts.
These are balls deep cuts, right?
Balls deep cuts. All right, number three. What's your number three top five rare hair songs per you?
So number three is the only band on my list that I knew of, but I'd never really listened to. We talked of them a couple times. In fact, you mentioned them earlier in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
They're a New York band formed in 1989.
Oh, I mentioned them already?
Yeah, Spread Eagle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
From New York. Did you know that they had their record deal like 3 months after they formed their band? Like they formed their band, three months later, MCA signed them.
Is that right?
That's pretty crazy.
So that's funny because, okay, so which album is this song from?
So I don't know which album the song's from. I just found the song. It's a 1990, so it's got to be their self-titled one. It's got to be their first one.
What's the name of the song?
Through These Eyes.
Okay, that's the first one.
Okay. Yeah. This song, you know the song I'm talking about? Or not?
So kind of. With Spread Eagle, I know the second album very well.
Okay.
All of it. The first album... That's one of the albums that I have a list right here of albums that gets a ton of love, like on chats and.
Dude,
and
I know why now. Yeah, I love that. I've never until you and I mentioned Spread Eagle it was like a joke.
You
I was
laughed at the name.
I know,
yeah,
Spread Eagle. What the hell? And the covers have these eagles. Like it's so funny. But oh my god, it's a great. The whole record's good.
Yeah, yeah.
But this song, Through These Eyes, starts off like you're 2 minutes in. Literally, almost half the song is a cheesy love ballad.
Right.
But it's like it's a good ballad. It's like, you know, for ballads, but it is like I've never seen a song that goes from absolute ballad to absolute kick your ass hard rock.
Yeah.
Like it is a tale of two stories on this song and once it kicks in, if you can get past that ballad, dude, listen to 2 minutes or start it at 2 minutes if you want. And then when it starts rocking, holy shit, it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, so the first album, Spread Eagle's first album, isn't there Switchblade Serenade and a couple songs? Like, I've listened to it because I don't even remember, but in like 92 or 93 when that second album came out, somehow it got on my radar. I got the album, and I love that album. It's a little less glam than the first one is. They're starting to kind of get more, you know, things are changing. I think they're changing a little bit with it. But that second album is awesome.
They're great musicians too.
Yeah, it's got some really good stuff on it. Their band name is cheesy as all get out. If they would have had, that's one of the bands that or albums that I see often on a list where people are like, "How was this band not bigger than they were?"
Really? You know? I could see that. Yeah. I could see it. Yeah.
And the second album is not probably as maybe doesn't sound probably as much glam as the first one does. Mm-hmm. But it's still so good. It's really, really good. They've got songs on there. It's one of those albums where, like, the second one, where there's songs that just, they're like, that one could be more of like a heavy rocker. That one could be kind of like almost like a Pearl Jam type song or something. You know, this one could be just really, really good. But yeah, a lot of people love that first Spread Eagle album. So
yes, I see why.
Yep.
That was the first I've ever heard it, dude.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Spread Eagle.
And I heard I heard that song and I immediately was like, what is this?
All right. My number three is a band that it's kind of funny because the same guitarist is in band, is in a third band and the next band I'm going to mention after this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. but this band is called Harlow.
Harlow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Harlow. And it's a gal lead singer.
Okay.
I didn't know it was a gal lead singer until I listened to a handful of songs. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. Actually, I like this. And the first song called Chain Reaction, really cool. Wasn't until I was like, let me read up a little bit. Cause I knew that Tommy Thayer was in the band and
that name I know.
Yeah. And, so I was like, okay, let me look a little bit. Hard to find any information on this band. I think they have one album. I think the guy, Pat Reagan from, he was from like Alice Cooper's band or something like that, left. And these two guys formed this band for like one album. Some gal named Teresa something or other on vocals. I didn't know it was a girl. I thought it was a dude singing.
Sometimes hard to tell back then.
I know. Well, yeah, I know. Right? But the sense is that like sometimes, a lot of times you might mistake it the opposite way. Like, this dude sounds like a total chick singing, is it?
Right.
You know? No. I thought it was a dude.
Wow.
But it's kind of cool because she's kind of got like a little bit of a roughness to her voice. And so it's kind of a cool song. And I mean, the fact that this gal's singing it, and I couldn't have, most of the time when a gal's singing it, you could lead a Ford or whatever it is. You could tell it's a gal singing. But yeah, in this case, I didn't know. And the song is called Chain Reaction. It's actually really cool. Very obscure album, though. Very obscure album.
Okay. I don't think to hear it.
Yeah, I don't think you can find this many places. But all right, so we got a little Spread Eagle, a little Harlow, and a little music break. And then we'll be back. Okay, getting down to it. Headbangers Rock Show, top five rare hairs. Rare hair is stuff that we either didn't know existed prior to this show, or maybe had heard about the band but never really got into the band so much, which is going to be the case for my next pick.
Mine too. We're going even more balls deep now.
Okay, so who is your next pick?
My next pick is a band called Hurricane Alice.
Okay, spelled with a... Oh, no,
spelled
Hurricane
Alice. With an H. Spelled H-E.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And I'm going to tell you why. Yeah.
Okay,
why? I actually did my research on this band because I love this band.
Really?
Okay, yeah.
Hurricane Alice is your new...
I love this band.
Is it your new favorite band with the word Alice in it, though?
It is.
Is it?
It is, okay. Yes.
All right.
And I categorize this because I love both, you know, I love both these bands. This is it's like Bullet Boys meets Dangerous Toys.
Okay.
Boys meets Toys.
Boys meets Toys.
And that's what Hurricane Alice sounds like to me. It's so good. They're from Minnesota, actually, which is kind of weird. But they've opened up for like LA Guns, Skid Row, White Snake on tours and stuff.
I've heard of them for sure.
Yeah. So they had to change their name spelling because Elektra had a band out, as we know, called Hurricane.
Yes.
The normal way. Yeah. So Elektra pressured their record label. They're like, hey, if you don't want to get sued, you need to change your band, Hurricane Alice. They need to change their name.
That's weird because, I mean, they had the word Alice in there. So why, you know, why would it be such a...
But here's what happened. Stevie Nicks from Fleetwood Mac was on that same label as Hurricane Alice, and she suggested it'll just change the spelling into H-E-R-I-C-A-N-E, you know? So it was actually Stevie Nicks that suggested it. And they did. I mean, Stevie Nicks tells you to do something, you do it, you know? Yeah, and then they released their first album, and then they broke up right after the first album.
Is that right?
Yeah, but apparently they got back together in 2020, and they put out a brand new EP, which I haven't heard. But all those years later, they got back together. So anyways, Hurricane Alice, and the song name, totally fitting of the era, is Wild, Young, and Crazy.
Wild, Young, and Crazy.
And it is damn good, this song. It's so catchy.
Yeah, that's funny, because I've heard of Hurricane Alice.
Yeah.
I think a while ago reading somewhere that they, you know, they had to change their name. I don't remember why, but now I think you're right. It's what I'm saying is it's coming back to my memory that there was this band called Hurricane.
Yeah.
That's weird though, that it was that different and then they still had to change it. You know, it'd be like a band called Thunder and a band called Thunder Thighs. Right. You know, like what's
exactly.
Okay, you both had the word thunder in it. Why would it be?
I don't know.
Who knows? So what's the song called?
The song is called Wild, Young, and Crazy.
Wild, Young, and Crazy, that's right. So my next band, you may have already guessed, either you or anybody listening may have already guessed, because I said Tommy Thayer in the last one. Well, Tommy Thayer's first band, I'm surprised, actually, that they weren't a little bit bigger than they were. Now, they came from the Northwest, where we happen to be broadcasting our shows from. So... they were not an LA based band, but you know, some of these we're finding out in Minnesota with that last one, you know, New York with some of them. So these guys are based in the Northwest, and but the funny thing is they had Tommy Thayer on guitar and Jamie St. James, isn't that his name? Yeah, Jamie St. James, who went on to sing
Black and Blue, right?
Yeah, Black and Blue.
Yeah,
he went on to Jamie St. James
and Warrant
is Warrant, but he was also the guy on the second Lynch Mob album.
Oh, yeah.
So he's a great singer.
Yeah, he's been all over the place.
Yeah, he's a really good singer. And it's crazy because this Black and Blue, like I've heard of them. I knew them and I knew they had the song Hold On to 18, which I guess had moderate success. If you put it on, I might be like, okay, yeah, I think I've heard that song before type of thing. But with Black and Blue, I've heard almost nothing of them.
So you picked Black and Blue. Like, that's kind of, I don't think that's rare here, though.
Well, but I mean, do they really have anything besides that one song, Hold On to 18?
No, but people know of them.
Oh, people know them all over. Yeah. And matter of fact, they get a lot of love for being, you know, a good band.
I don't know if I consider that rare hair.
Well, again, rare. For me.
Rare for you. Okay. All
because right. I've heard of them.
Okay.
I've heard of them. I knew Tommy Thayer and Jamie St. James were in the band. I just have never given it the time of day.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
They're pretty good.
Because the thing I can come up, they had this thing on Apple Music that was called like Ultimate Collection, because they don't have all their albums on there. They got like one or two. And then they have this thing called Ultimate Collection, which has a bunch of songs from every, like they had four albums in the 80s.
Yeah.
And they have just kind of a collection of 20 songs, I think, here that have stuff from every album. And I was listening to it going like, okay, that's cool. Okay, dig it. uh-huh, like it.
Right.
And then it kept going down the list, and it's like 20 songs, like I said, and the whole thing was good. I'm like, how the hell did these guys never get on my radar?
How did the hell did they not get on everyone's radar? Because they were a good band.
They were a good band. I mean, granted, they didn't have, you know, there wasn't a song on there that I said, ooh, that's like a Bon Jovi type song. But they're good enough to where, like...
Thank God for that.
Yeah. They're good enough to where, like, the songs are not all, like... Like you said, like the same sounding shit. You know what I mean? It doesn't just sound like a generic glam metal band. They're actually good. The song structure wise is good. Great choruses. Enough difference between the songs where you're like, okay, that's cool. That gives me a little variation. I don't know how this band never got on my radar.
Hmm.
They're really good. And the song that I picked was, I don't remember which album. I can look it up, but I think it's on like the, let's see, maybe the third of the three or the four that came out in the 80s.
Okay.
I should, again, you know, I should have done better research.
Feel people prepared today.
People listen to a podcast. They expect research. They expect...
I apologize for Joe today, everybody.
They expect you to know what the hell you're talking about. But nonetheless, Black and Blue, the song is Get Wise to the Rise.
Is that about a boner? Is that a song about a boner?
It could be, but I'll tell you what. It's got a little AC/DC feel to it.
Hmm.
You know, with elements a little bit more of glam, but all their songs were that I was going through listening to. Again, it was like a little flavor. It was kind of a cool little ultimate collection they got there. It's a little flavor of all four of their albums from the 80s. All these songs were good. I kept going song after song. I kept thinking, okay, one of these songs coming up, I'm going to be like, skip. You know, like I've been doing with a lot of these hair metal, rare hair bands. But no, Black and Blue was rare hair to me. Now, granted, are they like the epitome of rare hair for people in the know? No. They're not. But to me, they were.
They were. Okay.
And the funny thing is they're right down the road. I mean, I think the guitarist of my band, currently now, went to the same high school as these guys when they were forming.
Really?
So, yeah, that's how like how close they are to, anyways. So, yeah, crazy. Black and Blue.
Get Wise
to the Rise. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking all these years. I should have been listening to more Black and Blue. All right. And yours was what? Cherry?
So Wild, Young, and Crazy and Get Wise to the Rise.
Yeah. What was the band called again?
Hurricane Alice. Alice.
Yeah. Wild, Young, and Crazy and Get Wise to the Rise by Black and Blue. And then we get number one after this.
Sweet. In the heat.
Okay, here we go.
We're on to our last song of,
well, our number one song of Top yeah. 5 Rare Hair, Headbangers Rock Show. Thanks for sticking with us the whole hour-ish that we've been going here now. We're about to wrap it up. We each have a song, a number one song that we picked. You know, mine, it's kind of funny. Remember I told you at the beginning, three of the bands I'd never heard of, that was 5 through 3, and three of them I'd heard of, but I'd never heard either the album that this song is on or you know, whatever. So
didn't hear much of them, yeah.
Yeah, so my, you know, anyways, all right, so go ahead. What do you got for number one?
I was so excited to talk about this. I am so excited. I hope you haven't heard this just because I want you to discover it for yourself now.
Well, I wouldn't discover it for myself. You would discover it for me.
Well, I would discover it for you, but I want you to be like, oh, that I know what that 51's talking about now. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, this band. This is my favorite new band right now.
Favorite new band.
Although
they're not new.
40 years old. Okay. But this is my favorite new band. Okay.
All right. Favorite new hair band from the 80s that you just discovered.
Favorite. Okay. How this band was not monstrous, I don't know.
Monstrous.
Their sound is great. The production's great. Everything's great. I'm going to give you a little backstory.
Okay.
The band is called Vane. Have you heard of Vane?
Ah. That's another one on my list that I had with Spread Eagle of bands that should have been bigger than they were.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, okay, so I'm going to give you a little backstory. I did my research on Vane. Yeah. In fact, I tried to buy this vinyl.
Oh.
It goes for like $200 on eBay. You can't find it.
Is it the No Respect one?
Yes. My God. Okay. Mm-hmm. So but Vane is in the vein of kind of L.A. Guns with the attitude of Poison. Danny Vane is a lead singer, and he produced.
He's the main Vane in that.
He's the main Vane. Yeah. And he produced Death Angel's debut album.
Right.
And he had so much fun producing it that he decided to make his own band.
Right. I'd heard this before. Yeah.
So their debut album came out in 1989. Mm-hmm. And then after their second album, they were dropped from the label. And they renamed themselves. Check this out. I don't know how accurate this is, but this is what I found. They renamed themselves Road Crew with Steven Adler on drums.
Oh.
Road Crew was GNR's basically Guns N' Roses' first band before Axl came around.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of Danny Vane is kind of responsible for a little bit of Guns N' Roses and Death Angel and then his own band. So he knew his shit, basically.
Right.
And if you listen to this record, oh my God. They're honestly, five songs on half the record I could have put as number one on my list. Oh
what,
my God.
What song did you end up picking?
I put Who's Watching You as my
song
my
number three.
Well, there's our song number three. Holds true. Oh, my God. Like, I can't even.
So you had never even heard of Vane before?
Never heard of
him. That's funny.
Never even heard the name mentioned before.
Huh. That's funny. No, I totally know Vane. Matter of fact, they had a kind of a. So the second album after this had a song on there. They kind of went, you know, because this was like 89. The next one was like 92. And they started to kind of change a little bit. So like they almost kind of went so they could I wouldn't have been shocked if they were opening for Pearl Jam or Blind Melon. They kind of went in a little bit more of a alt kind of rock, than this first Vane album. But yeah, dude, Vane gets so much love from people that are like, how are these, you know, bands, how is this album or this band not bigger than it ever was?
And I'm one of those guys, like, forgive me if for those of you listening that you know, like, this guy's no expert, like, but I just never heard of him. Like,
there was four albums I had on my list of that I know just from listening to either podcasts or doing reading albums that people are always shocked were never bigger. Spread Eagle's first one.
Yeah.
Vane's No Respect. Heaven's Edge.
Heaven's Edge is pretty good.
It's pretty good. So like, it's well produced, but to me it sounds almost a little too like it's a little generic-y, but it's good. There's some good songs like Skin on Skin or something like that is a really good song. And then that band Roxy Blue, not Gypsy Blue.
Yeah, Roxy Blue.
They get for some reason, but I listen to that one and I'm like, yeah, that just sounds like been there, done that before.
Funny, there's a band called Rocks Gang. ROXX I like a lot better than Roxy Blue.
Yeah. So
You know what I put on that list?
Mm-hmm.
And we played one of their songs a few episodes back, and I didn't feel it was fair to myself to put this on the list because we talked about it before, but that band Wildside.
Oh, right.
That's a band that I had never heard of before a few weeks ago, and they're up there with me with Vane.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely
they're more like a Slaughter type band.
Yeah, you definitely did a deep dive on them before, so you kind of had that. I didn't think it was fair terribly to rare.
Yeah.
Because this is kind of, again, songs that we've like never heard before. Right. So, well, here's
so
the
what do you got? What do you got?
Here,
for number
my
one?
Number one, I couldn't decide. So either I have to decide now, or I get to just call it a tie and talk about both these.
Okay.
So both of these bands I've heard of. One of the bands I love.
Mm-hmm.
They've had in the last, like, from 2012 till now, they've put out like 3 albums.
Huh.
Okay. They had 2 really awesome albums, 89, 92, that era. Then they had a third album. 2 of the guys left. They had a third album. This third album, I never knew existed.
Oh, really?
Never knew it existed. I knew they'd gotten back together over the last like 10, 15 years, and they're like putting stuff out now, and it's okay. You know, I listened to some of it. It's fine. It's what it is. But this album is more along the lines of their old stuff, but it's kind of, it's like, you know, we talk about when those bands kind of got to about mid 90s, if they stayed together and they didn't totally go alternative, they kind of had like a graduated glam metal sound,
right?
You know,
right.
And I love this band's first 2 albums. Love them. Had no clue this album existed. Zero clue. And you can't get it on Spotify.
What is it?
You can't get it on Apple Music. I had to go on YouTube, and there's only like 1 thread that I could find, one person that posted the whole album. And like halfway through like song 3, it cuts out and it's blank. And I'm like, oh shit, I can't listen to the rest. It sounds like it's going to be a cool song. So I have to either like go buy the CD off Discogs for like $50 from, you know, Germany or something, or just listen to it. You can get most of it off YouTube. It's the Electric Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They had a third album.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I love the Electric Boys, but I didn't know they had a third album.
I know they had newer
stuff.
Electric Boys are one of my, those first 2 albums are some of my favorite albums
so
of
good.
All time. But this, hold on.
Where are they from again? It's like,
they're London based.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Well, not London. I mean, they're from, I don't know where in England they're from, but they're from England. Hold on. Electric Boys. Let me, here we go. Once again, my lack of preparation for this episode. So what is this album called? It's called, Freewheelin'.
Freewheelin'.
1994. So they had Funko Metal Carpet Ride.
Yep.
Groovus Maximus. Love those 2 albums.
Great albums.
They got, you know, both of those albums, the Funko Metal Carpet Ride had a little bit of play love, I think, in 1989 when it came out. Not much,
the
but then Groovus
and,
Maximus.
Lips and Hips or what was it? Yeah.
Groovus Maximus came out, and I'd hear that on like Z-Rock if you were on like a rock station that would play stuff like that. They had the song Groovus Maximus, Mary in the Mystery World. Great songs. And then this album called Freewheelin'. I never knew
somewhere
it existed.
It's buried. Like,
yeah. So you can hardly get it, but there's a song, the lead-off song is, and the whole album's actually really good. It's kind of Electric Boys. They were always kind of known for being kind of, you know, the funko metal. They kind of have like a funk type of, you know, swing to their music a little bit. This kind of cuts that out a little bit. They got the bass player and the drummer left. Ooh. They got a new bass player, new drummer. It's a little heavier.
New rhythm section makes
a
difference.
So a little heavier. More sounds like the times, 94, you know?
Yeah.
The song is called Ready. It's cut off on here. Why don't I have that?
Album's cut off.
Ready to Believe. Yeah.
Ready to Believe.
So the song's called Ready to Believe. It's the first song off that album, and it kicks ass. But I came across another song that I loved. From an album that I started listening to the whole thing. I'm like, Jesus, this is so cool, this album. I mean, I've heard of the band. I think they got kind of goofy as time went on in the 80s. You know, they kind of became like a goof act a little bit. Uh-huh. The Killer Dwarves.
Killer Dwarves, yeah.
Dude, that first album
in
81.
It's good.
It's so cool.
It's old, too.
It sounds it sounds like it's like Motorhead meets Rush.
Yeah.
Not quite as heavy, but it's got that sound a little bit. And, you know, the way he sings. But the first song on that album, Are You Ready? We got Ready to Believe and Are You Ready? It's so cool. I never knew. I'd never heard the Killer Dwarves before. I knew they existed. I always thought they were like even more spoofy than they were.
Like tongue in cheek type, yeah.
They are kind of, but I also thought they were a little heavier. I never knew that they were really pretty much kind of glam rock. They're kind of I don't know. I guess you kind of almost like an early Ugly Kid Joe maybe kind of thing. You know,
I like
they're
it.
Glam rock, but I don't think they took themselves terribly seriously. They fit the genre, but I never really gave them much time of day. And so I listened to this. I okay, let me listen to this. I put this on, that song Ready to Believe, or Are You Ready? It comes on. I'm like, holy shit, that's awesome, dude. That song is so sweet. And then a couple of songs, you know, I listened to most of the album. It's, you know, it's got that classic rock feel to it a little bit.
Yeah.
But like I said, like it sounds like old, like Rush a little bit, maybe meets a little bit of Motorhead, tiny, tiny bit there. It's really cool. And I listened to some of their stuff in the 80s and I'm like, oh yeah, they definitely got more glam oriented. But I thought it was cool. So I put the song Are You Ready, and I couldn't decide between the two readies.
Both. Let's play them both.
So I got a tie at number one.
That's fine.
I got two songs with the word ready, and I'm like, okay. I couldn't ready myself to pick one. So Killer Dwarves, Are You Ready? Electric Boys, Ready to Believe are my ties at number one for Rare Hair. And your number one was Vane.
Vane, and Who's Watching You.
Who's Watching You, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that does it for us. Rare Hair, you know, like we said, there's probably going to be people listening to this going, dude, those aren't rare. Come on. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's true. And you know what?
Did you come across bands like Shark Island and stuff like that?
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there are so
Wild
many.
August.
Wild August. I mean, some of these bands, the names are hilarious. I mean, but yeah.
I tell you what, though, you know, like get on our Facebook page and, you know, check these out and tell us your thoughts on these songs. We want to know if you dig them too, like we do, you know?
Right.
And then give us band names that we haven't heard of, or we haven't, you know, we'll check those out also, you know.
Yeah, right.
Stuff. I'm interested in, you know, your Rare Hair.
There's so much out there. I was perplexed. I mean, I knew that, like, the Spread Eagles existed. I knew the, you know, Veins exist. Uh-huh. Electric Boys I knew existed, you know. But there was so much out there.
So many.
That I did not know existed. I mean, the Cats in Boots we talked about earlier. There was a song by them I thought that was pretty good. Almost made my list. Oh, yeah. Did you have a couple of...
Oh, honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions, yeah. So I had that. I had Cats in Boots, Her Monkey. I thought it was a good song.
Oh, I love that song, Her Monkey. Yeah. It's so good. I don't know. Should we say honorable mentions or should we leave a... If we get good feedback, let's do a Rare Hair volume
two. It could be a volume two, but I'm just going to say I had that, and then I had the band, the gal Soraya.
Uh-huh. Ever?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That first album,
S-A-R-A-Y-A.
I had the song Get You Ready. So I would have Get You Ready, Ready to Believe, and Are You Ready? But I thought that was pretty cool too. Those were two of my honorable mention songs. So that I thought were pretty good. But anyways, okay. So we're going out with Vane, Who's Watching You, and mine, which is kind of a two pack here with Electric Boys, Ready to Believe, and Killer Dwarves, Are You Ready? And we'll be back if you're ready in about 2 weeks with a new episode. Until that time,
stay metal.
Tell me, I'm following you on your track. Maybe take you for a ride. to believe.